Well, good morning and welcome to church, everyone. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe. Involved in the service today are Stuart, Manette and David. They'll be reading the set Bible readings for us, and Tina will lead us in prayer. This morning we continue our Bible teaching time through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai. And our mission focus for August is on the ministry to refugees. Today we are very mindful of the situation unfolding in Afghanistan and the work of Cameron and Lara Blair and Fiona and Joseph Ratandando amongst refugees here in Sydney. We'll also pray for the work of hospital chaplains with Anglicare, in particular the Reverend David Anthonys, who's the Anglican chaplain at Concord Hospital. We've come together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another, to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. To prepare us to hear from God's word, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. It's always special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation, engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. With Christians everywhere, let's affirm our faith in God and the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Though in lockdown, the children of our church families are still meeting for Kids Church of a Sunday morning online with their leaders, and they have a special message for us today.
Good morning, everybody. It's Karen here, and we're currently having Kids Church online this morning. And we're all together here, and we'd like to say hello to everybody from church. So here are our church friends.
Hello, my name is Charlie Loudon, and I am born in Sydney. I like going to church and learning about God and learning about how he helped us and how he will help us. And that everyone, I need everyone to stay safe so that I can go out in the park and meet my friends.
Hi, my name is Naomi, and I hope you're all staying safe.
Hello, I'm Erwin, and I was born in the Prince of Wales Hospital in Sydney. I like going to church and learning about God.
Hi, everyone at Morning Church. It's Anthony. I hope everyone is staying safe. I miss seeing everyone at church, but hopefully in the future we'll be back.
Good morning, everyone. It's Viti here. I hope everyone is safe and I miss you all.
Good morning, everyone. It's Emily here. We've loved having Kids Church online to be able to connect with all of our families, and I hope that you're all staying safe.
So we hope you have a lovely service today, and thank you very much for praying for us as we continue to meet together online.
Well, how encouraging was that? May God bless their time each week together. Thanks, kids. Let me pray for them. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kids Church. We thank you for the leaders, and we thank you for the kids and mums and dads that attend. And we do pray for them, dear Lord, that you'll help them to grow in their knowledge and love of you, Jesus, and become more and more like him, we pray. Amen. Well, now we come to hear from God's Word, the Bible, and Stuart is going to bring our first Bible reading from Ezra. Manette's going to read from Haggai, and David from Ephesians. Before we do, let me pray. Gracious God, your word is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone is keeping safe and is well during these difficult times. And I'm looking forward to seeing everyone when we can return to church. Our first Bible reading is from Ezra, chapter 5, verses 3 to 17. At that time, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Bozenai and their associates went to them and asked, "Who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to finish it?" They also asked, "What are the names of those who are constructing this building?" But the eye of their God was watching over the elders of the Jews, and they were not stopped until a report could go to Darius and his written reply be received. This is a copy of the letter that Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Bozenai and their associates, the officials of Trans-Euphrates, sent to King Darius. The report they sent him read as follows. To King Darius, cordial greetings. The King should know that we went to the district of Judah to the temple of the great God. The people are building it with large stones and placing the timbers in the walls. The work is being carried on with diligence and is making rapid progress under their direction. We questioned the elders and asked them, "Who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to finish it?" We also asked them their names so that we could write down the names of their leaders for your information. This is the answer they gave us. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that a great king of Israel built and finished. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean king of Babylon, who destroyed the temple and deported the people to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild this house of God. He even removed from the temple of Babylon the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to the temple in Babylon. Then King Cyrus gave them to a man named Sheshbazzar, whom he had appointed governor. And he told him, "Take these articles and go and deposit them in the temple in Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God on its site." So this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the house of God in Jerusalem. From that day to the present, it has been under construction, but is not yet finished. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to see if King Cyrus did in fact issue a decree to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send us his decision in this matter.
Good morning, everyone. I hope all is well with you, and I pray God's blessings upon you all. I'm reading from Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. "Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
Good morning, everyone. I trust you're all looking after yourselves and doing what you need to do in lockdown. Our third reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Strong and courageous, the Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe by his side. Be strong and courageous, the Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe. Do not fear the fire, do not fear the water. Thunder. Jesus has conquered them all. Be strong and courageous. The Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe by his side. Be strong and courageous. The Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe. Do not fear the darkness.
Do not fear the darkness.
Do not fear the sadness.
Do not fear the sadness.
Do not fear the sickness.
Do not fear the sickness.
Jesus has conquered them all. Be strong and courageous. The Lord of the ages holds all his little by his side. Be strong and courageous, the Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe. Do not fear the enemy,
do not fear the enemy.
Do not fear the poverty,
do not fear the poverty.
Do not fear eternity. Them all. Be strong and courageous. The Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe by his side. Be strong and courageous. The Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe.
You sing it on your own.
Yeah.
all his little ones say.
Be strong and courageous. The Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe. Well, that was the message of God through Haggai to his people. Be strong, all you people of the land, verse 4, Haggai of chapter 2, declares the Lord, and work. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. And through the Apostle Paul, we heard read to us, Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. These are tough days in lockdown, and I'm sure you, like I, have longed for, even prayed for them to end. Maybe we've even prayed that God miraculously end them suddenly by healing through the land. What a great witness to the world that would be, Lord. Surely many would see and believe. And it's okay to talk with God as such, to pray with God accordingly. But as we travel with God's people through their story in the books of Ezra and Haggai, we've seen God didn't give his people a visible sign, nor miraculous deliverance out of their troubles, but simply his word, working itself out to be true in God's time, to trust him at his word, to be true to it for who he is. God knew their weakness and the weakness of signs and wonders and the need to see miraculous deliverances. They only feed our need for more to trust him. It's not the sign or wonder or miraculous deliverance that satisfies, but the strength of faith in God at his word, that grace enables us to stand firm and persevere. How long-lasting and reassuring it is when we come to maturity in Christ that we no longer look for signs and wonders to believe and press on in faith, but simply trust God at his word in and through our difficult situations. And yet, what a wonderful sign, however, if we choose to see it as such, and which it is a miraculous thing on God's part, that even though we cannot see him, for God to promise and actually be with us, as he promised the people there in Ezra and Haggai's time, in and through our difficulties. But remember, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Such is the purpose of God's word in times like this. Word and spirit combine to inspire, rebuke, bring about repentance, and embolden God's people to faith and obedience, to persevere. And such was God's working out in his people through Haggai here in the story of God's people before us this morning. As a result, we read last week of their repentance, their change in mind and action. Work on the temple had stopped. God's priorities had taken second place to their own. But having heard the word of God preached by Haggai, giving careful thought to their ways and that God was with them, with a newfound enthusiasm, the people of God returned to building the temple. And this is where we left the story of Ezra and Haggai last week and pick up today. Chapter 5 of Ezra and Haggai 2. Their enthusiasm did not go unnoticed by the governing authorities. The governing authorities responsible to the new king of Persia, King Darius, verses 3 through to 17. They question the legitimacy for building the temple, verses 3 and 4. Now, at first sight, we might think that their questioning of God's people is hostile. But I don't think their questioning actually is hostile. Not all questioning for the reason for why we believe what we believe, do what we do as God's people, have their origins in people wanting to undermine or out of hatred oppose the work of God. Some just want to make sure that what we're doing is actually lawful. Tatanai, Shethar Bozanai, and their associates were the governing authorities living in Jerusalem on behalf of King Darius. They were the ones responsible for law and order in Jerusalem. They, I take it, are concerned that the building of the temple was lawful. They simply ask, who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to finish it? Be that as it may, work on the temple looks as if it would once again be forced to stop. But sensibility prevailed. And by the grace of God, verse 5, and from what we read of the content and balanced reporting of Tatanai and Shethar Bozanai to the king, verses 7 to 17, the people of God were obviously strengthened by hearing the word of God through the preaching of Haggai. That strong in the Lord, they were calm, they were confident, courageous, and clear in their answer. That clarity as to God's purpose for building the temple could be conveyed, and confirmation as to their authority could be sought from the king. Look with me there at verse 11. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, and that a great king of Israel built and finished. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean king of Babylon, who destroyed this temple and deported the people to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild this house of God. He even removed from the temple of Babylon the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to the temple in Babylon. Then King Cyrus gave them to a man named Sheshbazzar, whom he had appointed governor, and he told him, take these articles and go and deposit them in the temple in Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God on its site. So this Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the house of God in Jerusalem, and from that day to the present it has been under construction but is not yet finished. A gentle and respectful reason, when asked for the hope we profess, is wisdom. We learn from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, to in your hearts to set apart Christ as your Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It must have been an unsettling time for God's people to be questioned as such and to have to wait now for the king's reply. But as they waited on the king's reply, work on the temple didn't stop. It was allowed to continue, and continue it did by the grace of God with greater enthusiasm. And God raised up Haggai to speak to the people again as they went about building the temple. Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 19 that Manette read to us. As they built, Haggai gave the people insight into God's big plan for this temple and his people. A future focus and purpose is revealed. The sending of the Messiah. Look there at verses 6 to 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. This temple may not look like much to the people. It wasn't as big as the first temple. And they may not see their faith and work as being much, but this temple, unlike the first temple, will have the glory of God visit and be in it, the one who would reveal all who God is. Who, what is the glory of God? We know it's Jesus, isn't it? God's promised Messiah. Turning their eyes from the present to the future, God motivates his people through the preaching of Haggai to trust God at his word for the future, to see purpose in their faith and work, motivation to go on, and reason for not giving up. These verses of Haggai appear again, but again for us in Hebrews, but not in regards for the first coming of Jesus, but to his return, to the bringing to an end of all created things that shall not be in God's kingdom, that frustrate and discourage us now, to the taking of us to our promised home with him, who feel now exiled in this world, to turn our eyes from the present to the future, to motivate us, the temple of God, to trust God at his word, to see purpose in our faith and work, to motivate the church to go on, and reason for not giving up. Hebrews 12, verses 26 to 29. Once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Be strong and courageous. The Lord of the ages holds all his little ones safe. That was the message of God from Haggai to his people, and it motivated them to keep on going, to wait patiently and to trust God at his word. And through the Apostle Paul, we heard read to us today. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Let me pray. Teach us, O gracious Lord, to begin our works with reverence, to go on in obedience, and finish them with love, and then wait patiently, in hope, and with cheerful countenance, to look up to you, whose promises are faithful and rewards infinite. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you continue now in prayer with me? Together? Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. This week we have been disturbed by the news coming out of Afghanistan. Kanishka, our Archbishop, has recorded a message and invited us to pray with him. Before Tina comes to lead us further in prayer, let's hear from Kanishka.
This week we've witnessed the overthrow of the government in Afghanistan and the assumption of power by the Taliban. There have been scenes of terrible desperation and chaos. Afghan people, including many who've come to Australia as refugees, are in great distress. We've heard the voices, especially of women who are afraid and uncertain of what their future holds. Australia has been involved for 20 years in the effort to establish stable and peaceful life in Afghanistan. We know too that Christians have been serving in aid and development, in health and education, and in seeing the Lord's Church built. For the families of the 41 soldiers who gave their lives in Afghanistan, and for soldiers who returned from there bearing the scars of war and their families, these have been days of anger, grief, and disbelief. Australian forces at the moment are seeking to evacuate Australians from Kabul, as well as Afghans who were essential in the effort of Australian troops. In Psalms we read, "The Lord comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord redeems his servants. None who take refuge in him will be condemned." Let us pray. Almighty God, creator and preserver of our world, we pray today for peace. Have mercy on our broken and divided world, and banish the spirit that makes for war. We ask that leaders of nations and governments will pursue freedom, justice, and the welfare of all people. We pray especially for all affected by the escalating turmoil and tragic events in Afghanistan. Help the leaders of nations to protect the vulnerable and to establish justice and peace. Restrain the forces of evil and protect men and especially women and children from Taliban forces. We also pray for Christian brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Preserve their lives and strengthen their witness in this land of deep spiritual darkness and despair. We pray for Afghan refugees who have made Australia their home and for those who are anxious about family in Afghanistan. Comfort them, we pray, and may they find hope and peace in their distress in the knowledge of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, for the veterans of our Defence Force who have served in Afghanistan and their families. Sustain these men and women who have served our country. May they receive the care and support they need at this time of disappointment and discouragement. Heavenly Father, in an uncertain world, please turn the hearts of all people to your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and to the peace that passes all understanding. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying.
Good morning to all those who are joining and listening in our service this morning. Let's now join in prayer to our great and loving God with all our concerns. O great God, eternal, holy, and ruler over all, you laid the earth's foundations. You humbled us with your power and knowledge. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us join in praying the prayer that Jesus gave us together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please pray with me for the concerns of COVID. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life, you accompany your people. We come before you as the coronavirus spreads so quickly, far and wide. Give your wisdom, energy, and perseverance to the testing and contact tracing teams, to our leaders making decisions that have such a huge impact on our community. We especially pray for our leaders at this time, Scott Morrison, Prime Minister, Gladys Berejiklian, our Premier, Brad Hazard and Kerry Chant. Please also, we ask you to protect our workers in essential services, police, those in aged care, doctors, nurses, paramedics, retail workers, teachers, so many roles, Lord. Uphold them when their spirits and energy levels flag and anxiety rises. Where there are Christians in these roles, may they be your instruments of peace, showing constant love and kindness, ready to give a reason for the hope that they have in you. By your presence, protection, and provision, please bring your peace to the fearful, to those with financial challenges, those living in abusive relationships, in pain or grief, the isolated and the sick. Father, we pray for other nations where the coronavirus is running rampant and distribution of aid is impeded by inadequate healthcare, corruption, lack of medicine and oxygen tanks. May wealthy nations be generous in sharing with the needy, especially sharing with, for us in Australia, places like Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia and Myanmar. We also ask that there be ways for your word to go out despite the challenges of this coronavirus and your church grow and be strengthened at this difficult time. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We also bring before you the distress across the world. Heavenly Father, we ask for relief for the suffering and help in places of where storms and flooding and earthquake has come to the land. And we particularly remember places in Europe, Japan and Haiti. We ask in your mercy, aid and food for the hungry and starving, thinking of places like Yemen and Africa. May these people find comfort in you. At Quara Gosh in Iraq, which has been invaded by extremists, we think of our Christians and brothers and sisters. Please comfort and sustain your believers in their uncertainty and help them to keep their trust in you. For refugees and the work that goes here in Sydney, we really thank you for opening the hearts of those to these refugees, for these opening hearts and minds of accepting these people out of love. These people who flee for safety and a home, a place in Sydney. In particular, we thank you for our Link missionaries, Fiona and Ricardo Retandado, and Cameron and Lara with their children. They seek to be your servants, O God, in this situation, and tell of God's love in Jesus. Help us to be prayerful for the Afghans here in Australia and their families and loved ones. May they be aware of your presence, love and comfort in their anxiety for those in Afghanistan. Grant wisdom and encouragement for Fiona, Ricardo, Cameron and Lara. Encouragement which they need day by day. Give them inspiration and love for those they come in contact with. We ask that their needs would be supplied and joy fill their hearts as they serve you and others for Christ. Give them the words that others need to hear and that people will see the love of Jesus in their hearts, in their love for you, and the way in which they serve and help the Afghans in the area. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let us now think of hospital chaplains. And this month we're particularly praying for hospitals and their care, and particularly for Fiona McGregor and David Anthony's in Concord Hospital. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for chaplains, Fiona and David. May you give them the insight and wisdom they need as they spend time and support patients and staff in their hospitals. Grant them strength, health and encouragement and joy as they serve you, so that the hope, love and peace of Jesus would be shared. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray for our community in St Andrews. We ask for patience in Canada Bay and that people will be able to find peace amongst the midst of the restrictions, that people will find ways to keep good mental health. Help our council to keep their community in order and safe. Protect those who are in abusive relationships. We give thanks for simple reminders here at St Andrews that there is a God who is present during difficulties. Reminders such as the bell being rung twice a day by Trevor and the illuminated cross on our roof, so that people can be drawn to you. Let these bear witness to your glory and draw people to you and to think of you each day, and so come to know Jesus as their Saviour. For those who have difficulties and struggles of health, stamina, in their recovery, we ask for comfort, strength, and ongoing help. And in particular, we think of Lynn and Graham Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock, and Matt Schweizer. Fill us with your vision and hope, O God, here. Give us grace to proclaim the gospel joyfully in word and deed. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to live for you in righteousness and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Tina. Well, friends, next Sunday's service online will be the Lord's Supper. Though unable to meet face to face, we can still remember God's great love for us in Christ and the love we ought to have for each other from our homes online without bread and without wine. But however, if you choose to, and it helps you to remember, you can set aside a piece of bread and grape juice or wine to take it at the appropriate time in the service. Don't forget the opportunity we have to catch up with people from church on a Sunday night via Zoom and to say hi. Drop in any time between 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. and come and go as you please. You can join by just clicking on the link sent to you on Friday's email, or call me beforehand and I'll send you the link. For those who have been listening in as visitors to our service, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are about a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. We are followers of Jesus. We invite you to know God with us. So as we leave from here, let us remember, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so serve God in a way that is pleasing to him, with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen.